Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Emma Ryan with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Lebanese military court charges 7 people over the attack that killed Newtown Cunningham based private Sean Rooney. The general manager of Letterkenny University Hospital says 10% of the hospital staff is currently off sick as the hospital remains under severe strain. Technical talks are continuing between the EU and the UK over the Brexit protocol, and the HSE is asking people aged 18 to 49 in Donegal to make an appointment for their second COVID-19 booster dose as COVID cases rise. Those stories to follow in full, plus more. And after the break, we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Kenny Harkin, and Chris Ashmore will be here with the farming news. But first in news, a Lebanese military tribunal has pressed charges against several people allegedly involved in the attack on Irish peacekeepers last month. Newtown Cunningham based Private Sean Rooney was killed in the attack, while Trooper Shane Kearney was seriously injured. Barry White has more.
Lebanon's military court has charged 7 people over last month's attack that killed 23-year-old Private Sean Rooney and seriously injured Trooper Shane Kearney. Only one of the 7 charged is in custody, Mohammed Ayad, who was handed over to the army by Hezbollah last month. Yesterday, he was charged with killing Private Rooney and attempting to kill his 3 comrades with a machine gun. The judge has also charged 6 fugitives for uttering threats with an illegal weapon, destroying the UN vehicle and intimidating its passengers.
Patients are dying unnecessarily in Irish hospitals because of the overcrowding issues, according to an emergency medical consultant. The HSE will present an update at a briefing later, as the trolley figures fell by almost 200 in one day. It now stands at 639. Tom Douglas has more with emergency medicine consultant Mick Malloy.
There isn't a quick solution. That is the problem. This is a massive building program across the whole state required. The hospital, the bed capacity in hospitals is dramatically below international levels, and it is dangerous, and people are dying unnecessarily as a result.
That's Mick Malloy. He's a consultant in emergency medicine. Health Minister Stephen Donnelly called on senior doctors to work weekends to help clear the crisis yesterday, but a consultant at St Vincent's Hospital, John Crown, says they already are, and it's not as simple as just discharging someone on a Sunday.
These patients, who are every bit as entitled to be in the bed as anybody else, often cannot be discharged because there isn't a safe place to discharge them to. So, you know, you could make an argument that we need more social workers, occupational therapists, physiotherapists. All of these things are in critically short supply.
Stephen McMahon from the Irish Patients Association is demanding answers from the HSE.
So the narrative will be, obviously, I would expect from the HSE, one of, oh, this is a once-in-a-lifetime storm that we have and all the rest of it. No, we've had $23 billion invested in the system, hundreds of millions put in as to top up the system, and there's been very little accountability.
Senior members of the HSE will give an update on how hospitals are coping later this afternoon.
Meanwhile, the general manager of Letterkenny University Hospital says 10% of the hospital staff are currently off sick. Just over 60 have COVID-19 or other respiratory conditions, while around 200 staff are off with other illnesses. Speaking to Greg Hughes on the 9 till noon show this morning, Sean Murphy said a major issue at present is delays in discharging patients who are fit to leave the hospital. He urged families to make arrangements in such situations as quickly as possible. He said this morning, of the 380 beds in the hospital, at least 25 were occupied by people who were fit for discharge but could not leave at that stage because no arrangements were in place. In relation to the emergency department, he urged people to consider all their options.
For patients who may be unwell, feel they need medical attention, but aren't in an emergency situation, please contact your GP or the out-of-hours GP service. GPs will refer patients on to the hospital where they feel that's appropriate. About 50% of our patients that come into the hospital come in as GP referrals. It doesn't stop access to the hospital. It just means that the patients that are coming in are those that are most in need of acute hospital care. And I would also ask that if our patients are fit to be discharged, I'd ask families, and I know it can be very difficult with working on family arrangements, etc., but that families come in to collect those patients as quickly as possible, because as soon as we get a patient out of the hospital, we can then clean that room area and take another patient off a trolley in the hospital. So every hour of delay has an impact across the whole service. For those patients who do come into the emergency department, please bear with us if you're experiencing extremely long waits, because as ever, our priority is on the most ill patients. That means that patients that are less acutely ill will experience long waiting times, and please bear with us and bear with the staff. It's not their fault. They're doing their best. Everybody's working extremely hard.
The EU is working around the clock to reach agreement with the UK on the Northern Ireland Protocol. That's according to a spokesperson for the European Commission. Daniel Ferry says technical talks are continuing to try to resolve differences between both sides.
First of all, in terms of mood, in terms of what we're doing, I think it's clear to say that we're working around the clock to find solutions regarding the implementation of the protocol. We have put forward solutions. We have found solutions already. One of the examples that I mentioned the other day was on veterinary medicines, which came out just before Christmas.
The HSE is asking people aged 18 to 49 years in Donegal to make an appointment for their second COVID-19 booster dose as soon as possible. The call comes as the number of COVID-19 cases are increasingly rising. With more, here's Donna Marie Doherty.
The HSE is urging those aged 18 to 49 who have not yet received a COVID-19 booster vaccine to check their vaccine status and book their booster as soon as possible. A vaccination clinic for those aged over 12 is being held in Letterkenny at the Ballyrain Business Park today until 4:15pm, tomorrow from 9:15am to 5:15pm, and on Saturday from 8:15am to 4:15pm. Sinead McConnell, General Manager of the COVID Vaccination Programme, HSE Community Healthcare for Cavan, Donegal, Leitrim, Monaghan and Sligo, explained why the surge of the winter infections was predicted and planned for. It appears to be increasing earlier than it had been hoped. The public can present at one of the walk-in clinics or book an appointment online. More information is available on our website highlandradio.com.
A Donegal woman who was selected to read at the funeral mass of former Pope Benedict XVI says it was an honour and a privilege to be chosen. Mary Maguire from Letterkenny was initially reluctant to read when contacted on Monday, but after some encouragement, she says it filled her heart with joy to be part of today's ceremony in St Peter's Square, Rome. She told today's 9 Tonnen show that she hopes she did Donegal proud.
I got a phone call on Monday morning from Father Kevin Gillespie, the administrator in St. Peter's Cathedral, Letterkenny. I am presently a reader there in the cathedral, and he asked me would I be willing to go to Rome to do one of the readings at Pope Benedict's funeral. My initial reaction was no, and then he asked me to think about it, and I spoke with my family, and they encouraged me. Go, this is such an honour. And as the day went on, I just realised what an honour, what a privilege it was to be asked to be able to go to Rome. And today when I was reading it, I just felt such joy in my heart. As much as it was a sad occasion, I just really felt joy and was so honoured to be there reading today on the steps of St. Peter. Peter's Basilica. It was lovely. It was an honour, as I say, and I hopefully did. My parish and my county, my diocese and our country proud.
The organisers of a public meeting in County Galway last night have apologised after excrement was thrown at two government TDs in attendance. Bags of dry cow dung were flown at Junior Minister Anne Rabbitt and Fine Gael TD Kieran Canning during a public meeting organised by the Gort Bia Gas Concern Group. The man responsible left the room afterwards but soon returned to the meeting on notice by organisers. Kieran O'Donnell was chairing proceedings and he explains why the meeting continued after the TDs were targeted.
The microphone had been passed to someone else, so I was kind of concentrated on what they were saying. So the incident, all in all, the incident just passed me by. You know, it didn't register with me, and because it happened so quickly, it didn't register with me fully until after the event. And obviously then I realised the enormity of it.
The delivery of the flood relief scheme in the Glenswilly area of Letterkenny has been welcomed. Last year, the road in the vicinity of Glenswilly National School flooded on a number of occasions, leaving some residents trapped in their homes with the road impassable. Works are ongoing and are almost complete. Cathaoirleach of the Letterkenny Milford Municipal District, Councillor Donal Mandy Kelly, says the works to date have had a positive impact.
Well, we're all fully aware of the flooding. I suppose, listen, it took a while to get the upper hand of it and get the work done. But yeah, thankfully, the flooding issue has been addressed. you could say it's 90% complete there now at the minute. We have seen heavy rain there since the pipes have gone on, and you could say torrential rain as well, and no sign of flooding. So thankfully, what I have suggested from the start has been carried out, and the flooding has been addressed there. Thankfully, we can move on now, Emma. The men on the ground there, they've done a fantastic job of putting the pipes and new drainage there, and it has alleviated now any flooding issues for all the local residents in the area, and the residents are delighted with it. I'm delighted with it, and I want to take this opportunity as well to thank the Donegal County Council Roads Maintenance Crew and the fantastic job they have carried out. I mean, the road is left now, it's safe for everyone, and we all know it's a very busy road there, passing Bensfully National School, but the flooding used to occur there in R250, and thankfully now everyone can use the road without having to come around the corner and seeing flood issues there. So thankfully it's addressed once and for all.
The Letterkenny local area plan will go out to public consultation tomorrow. The plan developed by Donegal County Council also includes a transport plan for the town. With more, here's Michaela Clark.
The local area plan for Letterkenny, as prepared by Donegal County Council, will be available for viewing by the public from tomorrow. The plan going out to public consultation had previously been delayed, with intensive discussions about floodplains south of the Swilly and areas being susceptible to flooding. Councillors argued that those areas should be left in the plan so the local authority can avail of local knowledge and hear from people who live and work in those areas. Copies of the plan, including an environmental report, Natura impacts report, strategic flood risk assessment and a traffic modelling report, are available for viewing from tomorrow until February the 17th at the Planning Office in Lifford and public services centres across the county. The closing date for submissions is 4:30pm on Friday, February the 17th.
It's just turned 12 minutes past five. Time for a short break now. We'll be back with sport right after these.
Here's another amazing Aldi offer. Our Grow with Aldi program in association with Bord Bia is now in its sixth year. It offers upcoming Irish producers the opportunity to supply Aldi stores nationwide. It's great news for our customers too, because they get to support local Irish suppliers and businesses. If you've got a product you want to tell the whole country about, apply now and find out more at aldi.ie/grow. Applications close 30th of January. Aldi, every day Irish, every day amazing.
The Brussels Eye in the Sky is watching you. For more in your Farmer's Journal, here's Paul Mooney.
New satellites to inspect all farms every 5 days. Battle of the Breeds, we reveal which suckler breed secured the top weanling prices. Jail for fraudster involved in online tractor and farm machinery scam. And following recent savage dog attacks, we detail your legal rights and how to deal with a dog worrying sheep in your farm.
Only inside this week's Irish Farmer's Journal. You cannot afford to miss it.
At Centra, we have great offers in our Better Than Half Price sale. Like Centra Fresh Irish Pork Loin Roast 1 kilo, now only $6.69. Robinson's Fruit Chew 4-pack selected range, now $1.83 each. And Nestle Cheerios 700 gram, now $2.75. Smart choices, choose Centra. Centra, live every day.
Can I help you, sir?
Oh, I hope so. It's Jimmy here, my budgie. He hasn't made a sound for weeks, so I thought I'd better bring him down here to the vets.
Right.
He used to be so cheerful, chirping away all day. But now, listen, nothing. Is there anything you could recommend?
Maybe try the Specsavers next door?
Lost sounds? Specsavers could help you find them. With qualified audiologists and free hearing aids with PRSI. Book a free hearing test today. Terms and conditions apply. See our website for details.
Years ago, I used to dread my motor insurance renewal. Then a friend told me about O'Malley Scanlon Insurance in Ballybuffet and Dunloe. They do all the hard work. They contact all the major insurance underwriters and they get the very best possible quote for me. They have saved me a small fortune over the years and they could do the same for you.
When your insurance comes up for renewal, contact O'Malley Scanlon Insurance at their Ballybuffet office on 913 1020 or their Dunloe office on 952206. O'Malley Scanlon is regulated by the Central Bank.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome back to Highland Radio News. Time for sport now with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Emma. Good evening. Starting with Gaelic Games, and there's two quarter-finals in football, the Under-21A Championship here in Donegal this evening. Tiernan, they play Kilcare at 8 o'clock in the Donegal GA Centre, and Dunlow, they play St Eunan's at 7.30 in McCool Park. Gwydor and McCool's already into those semi-finals, and the winners of tonight's ties will go into those semi-finals. Those games are due to be played on Saturday, with the draw to be made after tonight's ties. Elsewhere, former Roscommon captain Conor Devaney has confirmed his inter-county retirement. He won two Connacht titles in 2017 and 2019 and was nominated for an All-Star for his contributions to the first of those. Meanwhile, the 2023 hurling season begins for Carlow tonight in the Kehoe Cup. Tom Mullally's side travel to Hawkfield to take on Kildare, while the Wicklow Hurlers, they entertain Meath for the opening round. Both of those matches start at 8 o'clock. At 7 o'clock, it's Kerry versus Cork in the Munster Senior Hurling League in Tralee. In soccer cross-channel, Manchester City will be without centre-half Ruben Dias for the Premier League clash with Chelsea tonight. Dias has a hamstring problem, while fellow centre-half Aymeric Laporte's back issue will be assessed before kick-off. A win for the champions will close the gap on the leaders Arsenal to 5 points. That game starts at 8 o'clock. Back closer to home, Fan Harps boss Dave Rogers will have to plan without Conor Tourish and Luke Rudden for the season ahead, as both have opted to move to the Ulster Senior League sides. Tourish has returned to his hometown club Letterkenny Rovers, while Rudden is signing on at Ulster Senior League champions Coghill Celtic. Just 12 months ago, Tourish joined the senior ranks of Harps and impressed in the defence, while Rudden had signed his first professional contract with the Ballybuffet outfit in September of 2021. Rudden could be in line for his Coghill debut in the FA Intermediate Cup tie away in Cork to Avondale on the 22nd of January. Meanwhile, Sligo Rovers, they have signed Estonian international Bogdan Vastuk. The attacking midfielder has signed a 2-year deal with the option of a third. Vastuk leaves Polish top flight side Stal Mielec. And David Harrington has joined the ex-League of Ireland contingent at English League One side Fleetwood Town. The goalkeeper kept 17 clean sheets and 33 appearances for Cork City last season. Fleetwood is already already the home for former Bohemian striker Promise Amashere and ex-Waterford man Phoenix Patterson. Just another piece of transfer news cross-channel. Chelsea, they've made their first signing of the January window, with Benoit Badiashile joining from Monaco. The French international centre-back has signed a 7.5-year deal at Stamford Bridge. His signing didn't come soon enough for tonight's Premier League meeting with Manchester City. In rugby, 24 hours after his move to Edinburgh was confirmed, Ben Healy has been named to start at out half for Munster in tomorrow night's URC fixture with the Emirates Lions. He replaces Jack Crowley in one of six changes from last week's narrow win over Munster. Rory Skinnell and Liam Coombs, they start in the centre, and into the pack come Josh Wisherley, Dermot Barron and John Hodnett. In golf, Seamus Power's 2023 season gets underway in Maui this evening. The Waterford golfers tees off at 7.35 in the first round of the Century Tournament of Champions. Power begins the year on top of the FedEx Cup rankings. In American football, the Buffalo Bills says Damar Hamlin is making steady progress following his cardiac arrest. While he's still critically ill, the Bills have revealed that their safety appears neurologically intact and that his lungs continue to heal. Hamlin had to be revived on the pitch after suffering a heart attack in their AFC meeting with the Cincinnati Bengals. Finally, this evening in Formula One news, Andretti Global and General Motors, they're planning to work together to set up a new Formula One team. Andretti Cadillac would be based in the United States with a support facility in the UK and have at least one American driver. Formula One and the FIA are unlikely to accept new entries before 2026. There are also a number of other interested parties. That's your sport. It's back to Emma.
Thanks, Kenny. And we go to Chris Ashmore for the latest in farming news.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Big Brother is set to watch Donegal farmers even more closely in the years ahead. Four powerful satellites will inspect all Irish farms every 5 days in 2023. Well, to find out more, I've been speaking with Darren Carty, Sheep and Schemes Editor with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Yes, Chris, whether you're a farmer with 10 acres or 100 acres, that from 2023 onwards, every parcel of ground or every acre of ground that you have is going to be now monitored by the Department of Agriculture. Now, farmers are used to, I suppose, being subject to inspections, but it would have always been a 3% or a 5% inspection. From now on, that's changing to a 100% inspection for the basic payment scheme applications or what will be BIS from 2023 onwards, are the areas of natural constraints. And there's a couple of things that the department are looking for or that they're, I suppose, want to hone in on in 2023. And that's if you have a parcel of land, they want to check if there's any ineligible structures. So this could be a farmyard that hasn't been marked out or a house site or that there hasn't been enough area marked out. The other thing is to check that the crop that you enter on your application is the same as what the satellites find. Or another, say, common one is this, that the presence of scrub is picked up and that that's marked accurately as what it is. And the last one then is monitoring farming activity. So it's going to be a big change from what farmers are used to at the moment.
And I take it these satellites, this is obviously an EU-driven thing. It's not a case of the department going out and tendering and launching something from Kildare Street. These are going to be state-of-the-art satellites.
Definitely. And like, I was surprised to learn this. The department, when they were describing this at a recent training event, they were saying that the EU space programme collects the most information agriculturally related than anywhere in the world. And look, we know that Irish farmers and EU farmers farm to the highest standards right across the world, but they say that there's four satellites in particular. There's two which are called Copernicus Sentinel-1, and there's two satellites in that, and then there's Copernicus Sentinel-2, and there's two satellites, and they work slightly different. The Copernicus Sentinel-1 is a new satellite that's been used. That makes no difference whether there's any cloud cover. And as we well know along the western coast, that can be quite a number of days during the year. So that takes no account of that. So it can get an accurate picture without cloud cover. Sentinel-2 works, but it is impaired by cloud cover. But what compensates that is that it takes such a high frequency of pictures or data capture in this. The two of them work together can get a very, very clear image. Now, I've seen some of the maps that have been done, and you would say to yourself they are quite accurate. One of the maps, you can nearly count the number of animals, cattle in a field. You can see where field troughs are. You can see where silage has been cut. From here on in, what farmers are doing is going to be very, very evident to be picked up. So every farmer on the 1st of August next year is going to get a report on whether they're, say, the maps have been, say, what the satellites have found, whether it's corresponds to what the farmer has claimed. There will be some areas where the satellite has picked up something that the department cannot be quite sure. An example of that could be, like, whether it's a crop of barley that's being sown or a crop of beans, and what a farmer has claimed. In certain circumstances, the department will use another new system called AgriSnap. So this is essentially geotagged photos. So a farmer might be asked to go out to a field, take a geotagged photo, upload that, and that will either confirm or reject what the department has found. But that these images will be available for any farmer to see, or indeed for anybody to see going forward, and farmers will be very much, I suppose, they'll be accustomed or they'll be used to seeing very detailed maps. That over the last 20 years, the maps have been sent out to farmers. Every year, they're getting more and more details. And this will be, I suppose, the latest technology available. And I can see this being used more so in other schemes going forward. And the farmers could be using geotagged photos more to confirm what they're doing or to confirm compliance with schemes.
Nothing to hide, nothing to fear. I mean, the rationale behind a lot of this is to make sure that what you've applied for is absolutely correct.
That's exactly. And like some farmers have rang me this morning and they've been slightly concerned. If I can use an analogy, that if you're driving up to a Garda checkpoint and your insurance disc is perfect, your tax disc is perfect, in the back of your mind there's always something that Ginny, is there something amiss here, or what are they going to ask me? And it's no different than, it's, I suppose, a step into the unknown, is that farmers are always anxious or apprehensive around inspections, and this is no different. That this is, I suppose, putting all the lands, it's going to be checked every year, and that there's nothing to hide. And look at farmers, we know are farm to the highest regulations across Europe, across the world. So this is another layer of legislation that comes to confirm that.
And the actual data and images, will it all be sent to a sort of a certain team back here in Ireland who will process it?
Yeah, so from what I understand is this, it's an automated process that the department has developed, because the amount of information, say, that is collected on a daily basis, that it would be just even huge for somebody to even attempt to sift through. So there's been programs written and there's different algorithms, and say if that, say, identifies something, then that's when the department, say, it'll signal a warning, they'll go in and look at it. And the department has said that, say, where there's obvious errors or genuine errors, that they will trigger a warning in mid-June, and farmers will have a chance to go in, change, say, the boundaries on a map, for example, or mark out an area of scrub before the reports come live in August.
Interesting stuff. Finally, Darren, just briefly, we've seen during the week there was some dog attacks, particularly one down in Tipperary. Really shocking stuff. There is a ten point plan which can help, I suppose, farmers and landowners in knowing what step should be taken in the case of a dog attack on sheep.
Yes, we have that this week. And look, it's a very, very sad situation. Any dog attack is very worrying for a farmer. That farmers do so much to try and keep animals alive and try and keep them healthy. And when you see over 50 sheep either being killed on the spot or having to be put down, it's very, very threatening. The main or the key point, I suppose, in the 10-point plan is around collection of information. That it's very hard maybe to process at the time of a dog attack, the importance of taking photos, contacting the Gardaí, requesting the Gardaí to come out and do a report, contacting the dog warden, requesting him to do a report, contacting the vet, getting the report done, and also taking photos as evidence. In a lot of cases, unfortunately, they aren't, and farmers have to live with the loss. But it's important that you follow the steps that is needed, in that hopefully you will get compensated for your loss. And I do think, Chris, is that we do need to see more legislation. There is legislation there around dog microchips, around dog licensing, but unfortunately we're not seeing enough enforcement. And I think that we need to see more of that going forward.
And that was Darren Carty, the Sheep and Schemes editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. And in other news, the IFA will hold a Farming Climate Summit in Thomond Park, Limerick, next Tuesday to look at how the sector will address the climate challenge. The keynote address will be from the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnell-Ogue. IFA President Tim Cullinan said the purpose of the summit is to bring farmers together with policymakers to fully understand what lies ahead in the context of the value of the farming sector to the economy and in terms of food production. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lyffert Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lyffert Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lyffert, supporting local farmers.
And a look at this evening's weather. Windy with scattered rain and drizzle this evening. Clearer, drier conditions will move soon into the west and extend eastwards, but remaining windy for most of the night. Lowest temperatures of 3 to 6 degrees. and a look back at this evening's headlines. A Lebanese military tribunal has pressed charges against several people allegedly involved in the attack on Irish peacekeepers last month. Newtown Cunningham-based Private Sean Rooney was killed in the attack, while Trooper Shane Kearney was seriously injured. The general manager of Letterkenny University Hospital says 10% of the hospital staff is currently off sick. Just over 60 have COVID-19 and other respiratory conditions, while around 200 staff are off with other illnesses. Speaking to Greg Hughes on the 9 till noon show this morning, Sean Murphy said a major issue at present is delaying in discharging patients who are fit to leave the hospital. The EU is working around the clock to reach agreement with the UK on the Northern Ireland Protocol. That's according to a spokesperson for the European Commission. Daniel Ferry says technical talks are continuing to try to resolve differences between both sides. And the HSE is asking people aged 18 to 49 years old in Donegal to make an appointment for their second COVID-19 booster dose as soon as possible. The call comes as a number of COVID-19 cases are increasing rapidly. Clinics are being held in Letterkenny until Saturday. That's the news for now. Our next news update will be at 6 o'clock. But until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 5th of January. The death has taken place of Margaret Flood, née McLaughlin, 5, Ard Colum Kill, Letterkenny. Margaret's remains will repose at her daughter Hilda Culbert's residence at number 8, The Croft, Glencar Scotch, Letterkenny, from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. tomorrow, with rosary at 9 p.m. Removal from there on Saturday afternoon at 12:15, going to St. Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, via Ard Colum Kill and Beechwood Avenue for 1 o'clock Requiem Mass, which can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Interment afterwards in Newleck Cemetery. Family Fires Only Please, donations in lieu if desired to Archview Lodge Comfort Fund, care of any family member. House private, please, on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place at her home of Margaret Rita McCormick, née Quigg, Gulladuff, Moville. Margaret's remains will repose at her home from 8 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Sunday at 1:15 for 2 o'clock funeral mass in St. Pius X Church, Moville, followed by burial in Ballybrack Graveyard. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family Fires Only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Alzheimer's Unit, Ardeven, Carndonna, care of any family member. Margaret's funeral mass can be viewed live on movilleparish.com. The death has occurred of Ruby Stinson, Grahamstown, Ballantra, reposing at her late residence for walkthrough only tomorrow from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. and on Saturday from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. House strictly private, please, at all other times. Funeral service in Drumholme Parish Church on Sunday at 12:30, followed by burial in Drumholme Graveyard. Family Fires Only, please. Donations in lieu to Drumholme Parish Church or the Irish Heart Foundation, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Peggy Morris, née Harkin, 95 Camas Road, Douglas Bridge, reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 11:20 for Requiem Mass in St. Eugene's Church, Glenoch, at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in Glenoch Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Isabel Lockhart, Drumitten, Lochris Point, Ardra. Her remains will repose at Shovelin's Funeral Home, Sandfield, this evening from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. and tomorrow evening from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., followed by private removal to her residence. Funeral service at her home on Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock, followed by burial in Kilcashel Graveyard. Family Fires Only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Ardra Methodist Church, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Catherine Kitty McConaghley, Corrie, Port Salon. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Removal from there at 10:30 on Saturday morning, arriving at St. Columbus Church Mass Mount for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Rosary nightly at 8 p.m. Family time only, please, from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the St. Mary's Funavolte and St. Columbus Mass Mount Facebook page. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or McAteer Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Patsy McGlinchey, Conan Kerry Keel. Remains will arrive at St. Mary Star of the Sea Church, Glenvar, at 6 o'clock this evening to repose, with rosary tonight at 9. Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Brentwood Nursing Home, care of Dunleavy Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Michael Finlay, 193 Ballycommon Estate, Strabane. Reposing at Quigley's Funeral Home tomorrow evening from 5 p.m. with removal at 6 to St. Mary's Church, Melmount, for Requiem Mass on Saturday morning at 10. Cremation afterwards at 4 in Lakeland's Crematorium. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of Grace Wilkie, née Houston, Drumore, Letterkenny, formerly of Lettermore, Drumkeen. Removal from Grace's late residence tomorrow morning at 11:15, going to St. Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, for Requiem Mass at 12 noon, which can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. Interment afterwards in New Lick Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul, care of any family member. The house is strictly private, please. The death has taken place of John J. Meehan, 331 Ballycommon Estate, Strabane, formerly of Coolatee, Lifford. Remains reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in St. Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. And the death has occurred of Margaret McDade, Ballybo Temple, Clohan. Margaret's remains will repose at her late residence until removal at 10:30 tomorrow morning for funeral mass in the Church of Our Lady of Perpetual Succour, Glenfinn, with interment afterwards in Kilwira Cemetery, Glenfinn. Requiem Mass can be viewed live on mcnmedia.tv. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.